Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Germany. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, my baby.
Yeah.
I really love doing that lift.
Why?
I don't know. It's just...
Why do you love doing that?
It's just part of the other part of my personality. I'm like, oh my God, you're so sexy. It's just, you know, I do it all the time.
She really does.
Yeah, welcome back, my babies.
Welcome back.
It's new week, new tea.
Where we kiki with you and you kiki with we.
So what's good? Y'all feeling a new intro or no?
It's short, sweet, succinct, to the point, you know, saying what we do here and then getting right into what we do.
It's pithy.
The girls had to shorten it. We were a little long-winded.
Just
a little bit, but yeah. You know.
We're here. Hopefully y'all are enjoying it and y'all aren't dying a slow death.
We are here. We switched it up.
On you hoes.
Yes.
So anywho.
So how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
How you doing? I'm okay.
What's the vibe?
I was on the sick and shedding list. Mm-hmm. Really. Over the weekend.
Yeah.
So recovering.
Okay, in recovery mode.
In recovery
You can't mode. Keep a bad bitch down.
You
She's gonna be out.
Keep a bad bitch down. I was down, but then I rose.
Yeah, like a phoenix.
What's that song?
I rise. Which one?
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Was lost, but now I'm found.
You singing it like you don't know it, nigga.
Was blind. But now I see. Bitch, I was blind, but now I see.
She's had her LASIK. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're on the road to recovery. You're on the opposite end of that thing.
On the opposite.
You're on the other side.
On the other side.
Well, yeah. I, on the other hand, was not on the sick and shut-in
list. Okay, how was your weekend?
I was outside. In a I'm real
outside
way.
Outside in a...
AMG. Right outside. TT. Two-turn baby girl, you know me. Period. Yeah. it was good. I was out with my boo-boo. He was working. I was there, too. Mm-hmm. He said, it was nice to have you there. I said, yeah, take me along. Good luck charm. What Jagged Edge say?
I got so much love for you in these arms. Don't you know that you're my good luck charm?
Period. I said, babe, you know.
A little bit of arm candy.
Exactly. I said, you see
a
what
piece.
You need.
What did Jacque say? Be my peace. People love for you to be their peace. P-E-A-C-E and a P-I-E-C-E.
And period. And I am a P-I-E-C-E.
Or is it P-E? I before E, except after E. Yeah, so P-I.
It's P-I-E. Yeah, I after E, except after C.
Period.
So yeah, we had a good time. Very funny. Seeing my sans, seeing Nicole there.
I'm like, who like, the fuck?
I know I never refer to anybody as sans if you know me. And I don't even be knowing y'all my sans. Girl. Like, hey, sans. I'm like, that's them.
That?
I'm like, what
She's
beach
like,
they
now
from?
Who was that?
I'm like, who is it? Yeah, I never know. I'm terrible.
Not what beach they What the fuck?
I'm terrible with Greek life. But at any rate.
Well, these ones you knew.
These ones I know because they're my line sisters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I see Nicole and she's like, da 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 is here. I said, oh, bitch, I'm out. I said, I'm headed actually out. It was my ex, y'all.
Ooh. It's after midnight and she's on your phone. Saying, come over because she's all alone.
So, yeah, nigga.
Yeah,
I was
don't nobody
want
to run into their ex.
Period. I was like, not with my nunu. I'm not trying to, this is my home.
What would you have done?
I would have been like, hey, how are you? That would have been it. Bob, I don't know. Oh, it's good to see you. And I would have been out of there.
No extended combo.
Hell no. It's giving respect. It's giving respect. Because then I would have to do the whole intro thing like, Andres, this is da-da-da-da-da-da. This is Andres. And I don't want to do it. Hell no. I'd be like, hey, it's good to see you. That would have been it. And honestly, it ain't, nigga. Peace. Fuck yeah.
It's not that good. I just having them run into you.
Exactly. So I'm glad I got out of there in a hurry, in a scurry.
It wasn't meant.
thank God.
It wasn't me, because it could have happened.
I'm glad it didn't. So, but although I was looking cute as fuck.
Now I love to look cute as fuck.
Yeah, of course.
I love to look cute as fuck.
It would have been better if I would have been looking cute as fuck and ran into him on my own.
But yeah, I'm not gonna, but on your own.
Yeah.
If you're on your own, it's like, see me.
Yeah.
But you don't want to run into him with a situation, because then it's like, now I got to entertain.
It's not that deep. But right. if you're on your own, it is different.
Why did it end this way? That's what they'll be saying. Why did it end this way?
Yeah, period. Goodbye. But yeah, so we was out of there and went to see Dave Chappelle.
Were you at the one where he got...
No, I was on a nice week, whatever show. But that was a treat. They did. They beat his ass. That was a nice treat. I felt like a great partner gifting that.
Oh, you gifted? He likes Dave Chappelle?
Yeah. Okay. I bought him when the tickets went on sale like a couple months back. I'm like, I got us some tickets.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was cool. And then on Sunday, y'all, I went ring shopping. That was on my close friend's story, so nobody's seen it.
Now it's on the main friends.
Yeah, so I went ring shopping.
So how was that experience?
That was really great. I felt really cute and special.
Were you cheesing like a Chester cat?
A slight Chester of sorts.
When it hit your finger?
Girl, when it hit my finger, I did not want to take it off. I told you that. She told me I could leave it on during the appointment.
She did. Did it feel heavy? Bitch, I've never had anything but costume on my finger. I've never had anything but costume jewelry.
It felt like it belonged there. I said, this shit, it feels like magnetic. It feels like I got...
Not magnetic. It feels like it's been here for 4,000 years. That's something Germany was like.
Yeah.
Spring feels familiar.
Yes, exactly. It feels like home. But it was good. I felt supported. I told Andres that, because I was trying to respect his wishes that he wants to just do a complete surprise proposal. Mm-hmm. And I'm cool with that. But I also want to love the ring. Right. Like, truth be told, I'm going to be the person wearing it for an extent, at least 5 years, you know, before an upgrade occurs.
Right.
So I want to love it.
You don't just upgrade those every day.
No, it would get at least 5 to 10 years. So I just want to love it. So, but I did feel very supported. We met, like, it was a happy medium. I really wanted to figure out if I was going to like whatever he got. Mm-hmm. And he really wants to do the surprise thing. But because, you know, partnership.
Right.
He was like, I'll go. So that made me feel good. And I told him, I'm like, I feel really supported. Thank you. Because I would have went by myself and just been like, confirmed. Style was confirmed. You can move forward, whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it.
Right.
But it was good because I feel like it made it more realistic for him, like more logical, or like more practical, rather. More practical, the process. The diamond expert was very knowledgeable and super helpful. And I ended up liking something different. Similar, but different.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt really good about it. And I said, Lord, bring it to me now. Now I'm manifesting it.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're manifesting.
I am.
This was your first time?
You know this is my first time. She just wants y'all to know.
Right, they didn't know.
This is my first time ever doing this. She was like, come on, sit down. Then it was the place that we went, it has a showroom. So they don't have diamonds where you can just buy it. You just get to see, and then you have to purchase to order.
Oh, okay.
So she was like, they had all the rings on the wall. She's like, pick out a few things that you like feel drawn to. And then when your partner comes in, he can pick some shit out too. I was like, she didn't say shit, but she was like, pick some things out too. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like sitting down, and I'm like, babe, is there anything that you want to pick out? Luckily, he was like, yeah, I want to see this on her. It was really cute.
Oh, that's nice.
I know.
We love an engaged person. Don't look like I dragged your ass.
Right.
He was like, you're here against your will. Be a participant.
Yes. He was like, can we see that? He was like, yeah, I really like that on you. That looks so good. I'm like, it does, huh?
Buy it.
Make me happy. Right.
Buy it. You like it, buy it.
Yeah, so when it was time to leave, she was like, I'm going to email you all the information, everything that we talked about today, pricing, just exact, you know,
right
deets. And he was like, can you actually just send it to me? She's kind of out after this. So I'm like, well, do what you got to do then.
Period.
Because you know she wants that on her finger. And then I told him,
I said,
it's going
to be an afterpay, a full pay.
Right,
whatever.
I'm like, what, you got a clarinet?
Right.
But I did tell him, I said, the next day, I said, babe, I shouldn't even have went and seen that little ring, because now I just want it on my finger so bad. He said, you want to be a wife? I said, it's not even that I want him to hurry up and propose to me. I want that ring on my finger. But not, you get what I'm saying? You know?
What do you mean?
Okay, you know how you like...
Because if it's more than a ring.
No. But it was just, the ring was so beautiful. Probably what the ring means. The symbolism. Is it giving symbolism? Shut the fuck up. You know how you see something at a store? Okay,
the symbolism is like, the symbolism of commitment. The ring is I'm bagged and I'm tagged. Tagged,
honey. It's giving commitment.
I'm bagged and I'm tagged. I'm somebody's. That's what it's giving. I'm somebody's.
In a real way, it's giving wifey. It's giving, will you be my wifey? Period.
Yes, I'll be your wifey.
Yes. Yeah. That's what it's giving. It was like, honestly, Brittany, I said, put it on me.
I really want to know how stuff. My finger would probably be in shock.
No, you'll be feeling like, wow. Ugh, yes.
I hate the way my fingers look, though.
Really? I love mine.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of them.
I feel like you, your finger, girl. I was surprised how my, you would probably have literally what size a four, were you? Seven.
Oh, wow. Big body bends. Yeah, big job. Yeah. I'll probably be a two.
Yeah, you probably have like a four or five.
Yeah.
Four. I'm seven. You know I got a big hand. Big hands, big ass.
Okay, well, it's coming. It's, oh my God. It's coming. I can't, I hope he pencils me in on the planning.
I'm hoping, shit. I'm hoping. You heard it here first, main platform. Patreon will hear when the proposal hits.
The honestly, main platform will hear with that as well.
Yeah. It happened, you guys. She's
not
a wife.
Not a secret. I said yes.
Yeah.
He proposed to me. That's the type of shit I'll have playing. He proposed with a diamond ring. And I started crying.
He put it on my finger and I said yes. Yes. I'm have that shit playing in the back.
Period.
Andreas proposed to me. I'm so pumped. I'm like, please, Lord. But I know it'll happen between now and March.
Okay.
But I'm hoping it's more closer to December. You know I'm trying to be married by December. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Oh, shit.
This bitch. I thought you said Q1 of 2023.
Engagement can come, but yeah. Oh, wait.
You want to be actually engagement and married? Or engagement?
You said, isn't it bagged and tagged is what you said? Yes.
Okay, that's the step.
Yes, no, no.
Stepping stone.
Okay, ideally, yes. Ideally, it would be so perfect to just be like, let's just do this shit. Let's just get it on the road.
So you would, if he puts the ring on your finger, you would be down to just go to the courthouse and...
No, I don't want it to give courthouse. I didn't ever say that. No shade around against a courthouse wedding.
Right.
But,
no, of course not. I just didn't know if that's what you wanted to do, if you went to expedite it.
I do want to expedite it, and I want to do a small ceremony with like 25 to 30 people, close friends and families only. And then a nice big ass party the next day. Reception mm-hmm. vibes. Okay. I want to take all my people, my close friends and family to dinner. That will be on us.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the next day, you already know, we party into the break of dawn. It has to give 9 to 2.
Wow. So hours. I'm not going to be able to be in a dress, a bridesmaid. What the fuck? You take strip away all the duties. I'm never going to be in shit else fucking with you. I won't get a box. Will you be my bridesmaid? You're so ridiculous.
You know what you do have coming, though. So stop playing.
What? The godma?
Yes.
In a box. I want it presented in a box. I love when they say, I didn't even have to ask. You already knew I was going to ask. Would you be my bridesmaid? Duh. Okay, and then everybody's like, duh.
Okay, fine. Would you want to pay to get a little dress just for that?
I wouldn't care. Yes, I've paid before. Oh, my. And I barely had coins, but I got into that dress and them shoes.
Okay, maybe it'll be something small, just like one or two people on my side hold me down. And somebody who could basically gang with me if this nigga ever get the trip and we running up. That's really what it is. You know, we gonna beat your ass if you...
Oh, my God. They're jumping.
But, yes, it was a good little vibe. I'll keep y'all posted if I get a ring.
Okay, yeah. We'll stay tuned. Keep me lifted in prayer. We're stay tuned. You're lifted. You're covered.
Thank you. All my sisters listening.
You're lifted and you're covered and it's coming.
Thank you. What else we need you guys to lift and cover are these ratings and fucking
reviews.
Yeah.
Can you guys propose to us? This is how you propose to us. You propose to us in the form of a rating and a review.
Give us our rings and our followers.
Give them to us. The girlies did come through on Apple Podcasts. I'll give it to them. They came through. The ratings and the reviews, they're very important. We do love to be showered with your kind words, but they also help the show.
They do.
So you can do it on Apple Podcasts. You can do it on Spotify. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Get on over there and run it up on Spotify. While you're running it up on Spotify, I'm going to read the review of the week. This comes from Kaylin. She says, hey, girlies, I wanted to catch up on the recent episodes before I left my review. So here I am. Let me tell you, I've been a bit behind because it's them few weeks to prepare for finals. We get it, girl. We've been there and we've done that. Anyways, I started listening to the BGB podcast in January when I wanted to find ways to help myself grow as a woman and person in general. Just improve my self-care awareness and overall self. I've been listening ever since and you guys have been helping me do just that. I always love the vibe and the information. Mind you, I just turned 18 last month, so I'm just starting my womanhood journey for real. It's like you are my actual homegirls, and it's always been difficult to have genuine friendship with females, so I definitely love this. I thank you both very kindly for providing such a great space.
Thank you for a beautiful...
Thank you, Kaylin. That was beautiful. Well written. And to be 18 and be here...
Yeah, you're ahead of the curve, baby. I remember being 18.
And lost.
Wow.
I was lost. If I was doing the most and not enough at the same damn time, yeah. Imagine that.
It was giving the most with the least.
Period.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for leaving your rating and review. We really appreciate it. Y'all can also join us over on Patreon. It's our exclusive membership community and platform where we give you more of what you love here. There's bonus episodes, extra goodies, affirmations, playlists, just tons of content over there waiting for you. So, Brittany, would you like to shout out our patrons?
I will. We have a couple. Go a few.
It. Get into it.
Almost a handful. We have Santara.
Hey, Santara.
Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
Ayana.
Ayana.
Or Ayana.
Ayana.
And Brianna.
Hey, Brianna.
Thank you all so, 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 so much from the bottom of our black hearts.
The twinsianas.
Yes.
The black heart.
Well, we're black. The parts are red.
Yeah, beating.
Beating.
Alive and well.
But they're inside of black women. So.
Period.
Period.
So last week, y'all, we kicked off Mental Health Awareness Month with a new series, Are You Good, Sis? And we chatted with our good home girl, Yasmin Cheyenne, all about boundaries, how, when to implement them. She really enlightened us on her concept of the sugar jar, which was just amazing. Just helping us reinforce our perception of what boundaries are and how to get better with, you know, strengthening the boundaries that we have with the people in our lives.
Because she did.
They teach us how to, they treat, teach people, you know what I'm saying.
How to treat you.
How to treat us, yeah. So if you haven't already, tap into that episode. Lots of gems dropped there. A goodie for sure.
It was. I thoroughly enjoyed that episode. The girls gave great feedback and said that they enjoyed it as well. Mm-hmm. So we are continuing that series this week with an episode that is important. Coming off the heels of Mother's Day.
Yes.
Happy belated Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Yes.
But not all of us have great mother-daughter relationships. Sometimes the mother-daughter bond can be sticky. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have this guest with us today, because
our favorite guest,
one of our favorites, because this relationship is one of our formative relationships. It can be very detrimental or beneficial to our mental health, right? So we want to address it, call a spade a spade, and call it what the fuck it is. Mm-hmm. So Sheena did just that. I'm not going to say any more. I'm going to let her do the rest of the talking, and I'll jump in when I need to jump in. Yeah. Okay, so let's just let her take the wheel.
We'll see you on the other side.
Okay, y'all, so we are in our Mental Health Awareness Month bag, and we have one of our favorite guests back at it again with us to chat about a very important topic when it comes to mental health. But before we get into that, let me just reintroduce our queen. We have Sheena Lachey. I'm sure you guys have heard of her. She's a former therapist, now life coach, and creator of Black Girls Heal. And Black Girls Heal is all the rage. Sheena created Black Girls Heal to help Black women be able to heal the impact of childhood relational trauma in their adult lives and make way to unlearn and relearn how to be open, vulnerable, and connected, and to be healthy and available to others. So, Sheena, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. What a great intro.
Yes, girl. That was only the best for the best. Gonna say it. Sheena, you know, I have to go on record and let our girls know that the episode that we did with you about a year ago, episode 185, is probably like one of my top five episodes. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I feel like I was very emotional and moved, and I don't really get to be as vulnerable the way that I was in that episode in a lot of the shows that we do, the episodes that we do. So I'm just going to say it was my favorite, most fave. And if you are just popping in and you haven't listened to episode 185, you need to get your ass back there and listen, because it was so good.
Yeah, we talked about
love addiction,
intimacy disorders, all type of intimacy disorders.
Yes. So it was a goodie and one of the girls' favorites as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you for trusting me enough to go there. So yeah. I appreciate you for that.
And you know, I also, this is another thing.
another thing
while I have you here. I feel like the few times that I've tried to start therapy, I feel like I always compare it to Sheena's style. Mm. And I'm looking and yearning for a therapist similar that kind of holds space the way Sheena did in that episode. And I'm just going to say I've been let down. Mm. Fuck the other girls.
Maybe you need a life coach approach.
Maybe.
It's a little different.
The therapy was just not a vibe for me. I'm like, I don't know if it's you. I don't know if it's because you're not Sheena.
Oh my God. Now she's a standard, the golden standard.
It's hard to find the right thing. I'm going to take the compliment, but I also want to validate that it is just hard to find someone who gels with you.
Yeah.
So it's a journey.
Damn, I'm still trucking.
Yeah, I will say I just started a new therapist, and we're still in the beginning. We've only had two sessions, but so far I like her because she's been giving me like homework and stuff to read. And when we come back, we actually dive in.
Yeah.
And she has a sister girl auntie approach.
Oh, good.
I'm like, yes, maybe I found a home. Maybe we'll see. But today, Sheena, we wanted you back because, we're talking about mental health this month, and a lot that has to go into mental health is our relationships. Like, the relationships that we have, they greatly affect our mental health, and our primary relationships often lay the foundation for all of our other relationships. And the girls, we talked about it a little bit the last time we chatted with you about our daddy issues and father wounds. We'll call them father wounds. And I feel like it's so easy to attribute or recognize father wounds, right? Like, yeah, my father wasn't around, or he wasn't showing up how I needed him to show up. But one of the unspoken wounds that really greatly affects the girls is the mother wound.
Mm-hmm.
The mothers. We try to hold them to such a high regard, but sometimes we got to keep it real. So can you let us know what a mother wound is?
Yeah, so it is pain that still lasts from a broken experience with your mother. And so it can be a moment in time, it can be an ongoing set of events that happen between you and your mom. So I think of not only things like physical abuse or even sexual abuse, because we don't talk enough about how women can be perpetrators, but for the most part, what I see in my work with women is the impact of emotional neglect. And so not having someone to care for you, to praise you, to adore you, to celebrate you. And if you do have it, that is only conditional. So it's when you make her happy, when you make her proud, when you do something that she deems celebratory. And also emotional neglect can look like her not paying attention or honoring your thoughts and feelings. So what she says goes, what her beliefs are, reign supreme, and really trying to minimize you and push you down. And any and all those things can create mother wounds and a lot of other things that I'm sure we're going to get into today.
Wow. You know, it's I guess the way I would like to think of a mother wound is like someone who's gone, right? I feel like that's a lot of times the way we consider it. If you ain't tapped in and you don't know what the fuck going on, like we about to do here today. But it's like, okay, the absence of the mom, but even the, like you mentioned, the emotional piece. Sometimes moms are present and are busy and they're just not there emotionally to validate us. That sometimes even stings more. I feel like, okay, girl, if you was gone, go. But now you're here. Now you're here and you're not doing what a mom should do. You're not nurturing me the way a mother should. So I just know that, you know, for the girls going through, this probably is really resonating and it's going to be very valuable.
I think that's what makes it, I think that's what makes it really hit, because our mothers are like the first relationship, right? And most of them are, a lot of them are present in our lives. Mm-hmm. But what was my damn thought?
The emotional piece that they...
No, not the emotional piece. I was going to say that because like we see our mothers do so much for us, I think it's harder for a lot of us to recognize the areas where they fell short that might really affect us, because we don't want to negate all that they've done for us.
Yeah.
So it's like we hold them to such a high regard. They work so hard that we kind of gloss over
our own trauma and needs.
Exactly.
And lack thereof.
Right.
Yeah. Because you want to protect them. And I mean, y'all hit on really important points. I mean, you love your mom, or maybe not everybody, but for the most part, even when there is trauma, there's a desire to want to be protective of her and, you know, give her the benefit of the doubt. And that's what really holds a lot of us back from processing our trauma, because we feel like it's a betrayal. If I'm actually honest with what I needed and that it didn't feel good, even though I understand that you were doing the best that you can, if I'm honest about that, that means that I never respected you, I never appreciated you, and all these things that go along with it. And a lot of times our moms may feel that exact way, and they may have even communicated it to us, or we may have just caught the vibes. And so it really makes us feel stuck. And you know, just quickly to the other point that y'all were saying, you know, there are so many ways that we can be abandoned, and physically is not the only way. Mm-hmm. And we can be abandoned spiritually, we can be abandoned emotionally, mentally, so it is important to validate that and to acknowledge that.
Yes, and that's the key. You got to recognize the ways.
I know.
And you know, speaking of ways, it would be really helpful if maybe you can let us know what some signs of a mother wound are. What does that kind of look like? How does it manifest in our lives? Because I feel like, and you can help me understand this a little more, how deep does a mother wound go? Can it be a surface scab? You know, like, Mom, okay, you wasn't showing up for me. It's like, okay, do we have a normal mother-daughter relationship where there's some woes, you know, the ebbs and flows, or it's like, it's giving real deep mother wound? You know, mm-hmm. are we on a spectrum with the mother wound?
We want to know, like, how it shows up. What are some ways we can identify if maybe we have a mother wound?
Yeah, like some signs and, like, yeah, some effects. Signs, effects of the mother wound.
Yeah. The girls have veils on.
Right. I'm like, let me see what I got to talk to my mama about. Do I need to call her up?
Lift it up. Mother's Day. You're not getting it. You're getting a conversation.
Band-Aids off, girl. Well, wound exposed.
Maybe don't have these deep conversations with your mama on Mother's Day. That might not be the right time.
Day after then.
But may not be as open. But as far as, is there a spectrum? Yeah. You know, because to what y'all were saying, you know, some of us have, you know, women will say, and sometimes I get a little bit jealous, but they will say, me and my mom are best friends. And we've always been best friends. And mm-hmm. I don't understand how... you know, I can't fathom not being able to talk to my mom about everything. And that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. But even in those relationships, there's still disagreements. There's still fights. There's still disrespect that happens. But they have the skills and the health and the boundaries to repair that, right? Mm-hmm. And move forward. And then, so that's on that side. But then on the other spectrum, the deeper wounds that we're talking about, you know, you're right. It is our first relationship. It's our template. And we even start to get information about who we are and our value from when she's in the womb. So mm-hmm. we can feel whether or not we're wanted. We can feel whether or not mom has stress and anxiety. We can feel all that stuff. I mean, it's been proven just somatically, you know, just the nervous system that we're born in, we can feel that. And so we have that even before we come into the world. And then we have our experience here. And so we can feel deep wounds of feeling like we don't belong, feeling like we're a burden. We can feel as if we don't deserve to be loved and protected unless we're perfect. A lot of perfectionism comes from feeling like you have to meet the standards of your mother. So I talked earlier about the impact of emotional neglect. And that can also look like a mom who's very critical and overbearing and authoritarian and insulting. Mm-hmm. And before I go further, a lot of our mothers, for the most part, are repeating what they saw themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're just trying their best. And they are trying their best as trauma victims themselves. Mm-hmm. And they repeat what they were told and they repeat what they were given. And, you know, in my experience, my mom even told me, she said, you think I'm being mean now, you would never know, you would never last in what I grew up in. And I believe her. I believe her from the different stories and things that I saw and heard and the ways that she was treated and growing up. But to continue answering the question, I mean, you can feel really lost and have a lot of despair and guilt. And just pragmatically, when we have mother wounds, especially when it comes from a lot of deep distrust, it can be really hard to build female friendships and female relationships because, you know, she's our first relationship. And so we feel inherently that we can't trust women, or if I let someone in, she's going to hurt me, or that there's jealousy and competition between you and your mom and all that stuff. I mean, you're going to feel that and notice it and look for it in other places too. Mm.
You see how this works?
Right. You giving see, building block.
That's why it's really should be, always is, but it really should be a conscious decision when you're deciding to bring children into this world, because the fact that the child is affected before they even come earthside,
mm-hmm.
it's like, God damn, I gotta be thinking clean, eating clean, all the things to make sure this child has the best chance possible. But when it comes to the mother wounds, I am one of the girls who considers my mom her best friend. I mean, I feel like she creates a safe space for me to talk to her about anything. She's not judgmental. She gives good advice. She was a great provider. But, I mean, if I put a magnifying lens on it, I can identify some ways where her wounds spilled over to me. Like, she's a very big worrier. And that's one thing where I kind of like carried from her, but that was passed on, because I would be worrying about things obsessively. And I'm like, I don't like this. But it was because she was projecting it onto me, like, oh my God, don't do this, don't do that. Make sure you do, like, God damn. So that's one thing that like created a pattern in me. And also, like, she would be very impatient. I consider myself to be patient, but I just remember that was something that kind of made me anxious as a child. Like, my mom doesn't have any patience. If I'm not outside at a certain time where she tells me to be, I'm gonna get in trouble. Mm-hmm. If I don't have the dishes cleaned, I'm gonna get in trouble, creating like anxiety and like sort of a high stress type vibe. Yeah. So I feel like that came from her mother, and also just the circumstances, being a single mother, having to make sure everything was taken care of, and make, you know, and wanting me to be responsible and do my part to help contribute. And it's like, woo.
Yeah.
A lot going on in this house, you know?
Yeah. And so, a lot of pressure for you as a little girl.
Exactly.
To keep it all straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I know, I'll be battling with my mama. Love her to death. And Sheena, you know, you made a point earlier that sometimes we just love our mom so much, and to say anything negative, it makes me feel guilty, right? Like, I am somehow dishonoring my mom by just being honest about the ways that she makes me feel. And I don't want to negate everything that she's done, because she really is phenomenal, right? I could say that she is a spectacular, tenacious woman who's done everything to give my sister and I everything that we ever needed, wanted, desired, the whole bit. But on the back end, you know, my mom grew up in poverty. My mom didn't have a stable, like, upbringing. My mom dealt with a lot of, like, just trauma, you know? And I feel like in her ability to provide and be such a great, provider, sometimes the other areas were lacking. And then it would just be like, but you have everything you want. You know, money is a big, big piece for my mom. Provision is a big, big piece. Like, you know, we don't go without. But then on the other end, it's like, we can't talk about all the ways that you might be making me feel bad emotionally. Like, my mom is very, can be very judgmental. that's really the biggest way that I feel like I experience
a wound,
some sort of hurt, contrast in our relationship is like, the judgment. Sometimes there's like a lack of boundaries and not really like understanding me as a maturing woman, like not just her child, but like an adult. I feel like that's a piece. And yeah, I know that her dynamic with her mother has definitely, her own wounds have sprinkled over into our shit. And I'm like, girl, we gotta heal it, because I can't take it, can't give it to the next generation.
I got the buck stops here.
Yeah, but I try to be very cognizant of being too judgmental or critical of myself. That might be also why I'm so heavily critical of myself.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know?
You were under a magnifying glass
all the time. Right. Sometimes I think it's subconscious for her. She just does it in a way that she's just critical.
Right.
She can be critical and very judgmental. And I feel like I live with that pressure, currently live with it. And I have to, I'm always critical of myself. Like, I'm like living on a fucking edge.
Yeah, making sure you can break every chain.
Yeah.
I know.
You said so many important things. And I feel like I'm going to lose them, so I'm just going to throw them out.
The rambler,
there.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. But the first thing, like you said something so beautiful that's so true, is that each generation is trying to get better than the one before. Mm-hmm. And your mom, you know, she never had the space, and you may know this, so I'm saying it more for everybody, but she never had the space to rest. She never had the space to actually dream. She was in survival mode.
Girl, that's it.
What she wanted to give to you was the freedom to have access, to have choices, to finally be able to live your best life, because that's what she always wanted.
Wow.
And so now she's given that to you. But the thing that she never got access to was the freedom to feel her emotions, the freedom to cry, the freedom to have a bad day. You know, what I make up is if she had a bad day, there wasn't food that happened on the table, that there was something dangerous happened in the neighborhood, that she had to always be on guard.
Yeah.
And so now, in the place that she is now, it's like you're speaking a foreign language. What you mean? Right. I've given you everything plus. And we can see that because we're the next generation. Mm-hmm. And I think I agree with you. It's hard to hold both of those two truths at the same time. And like, Mama, I appreciate you and I love you, but I want to be closer to you. Mm-hmm. And I think what also makes it hard with the mother-daughter relationship is that our moms, for them to come to that place, to be open to that vulnerability, they have to access the parts of themselves they had to close off to survive. Yeah. So if I actually get closer to you and talk about my emotions, that means I got to feel all my emotions and I got to go to all those places. And I don't have time for that. I've dealt with it. I've made my coping mechanisms. I've created my life. I've moved on. Why do we need to go there? Yeah. And they really just can't understand it, because going there is dangerous for them.
Mm-hmm.
And but for you, it feels like liberation. So I'll just stop there just to see if you have any thoughts about.
You always hit the nail on the damn head. Always, you have the right hammer and the right nail in your hand.
Tools.
It is. That is exactly it. You know, I feel like now it's about now. See, now it's a session.
Right. This is how you get your fix. It's a scam, Sheena.
Now that we're here.
Just kidding.
We can take off the fucking, what is that? The veil that this was actually a podcast recording. This was actually my therapy session.
The costume.
No, but it is. Right. No, that is very true. You know, I feel like my mom, she is very emotional and she's admitted she's emotional, but she does not show her emotions.
Mm.
She does not want to deal. She doesn't even like to feel the emotion. She'll be like, you know, I've probably seen every time I see my mom cry, my heart breaks, because it's not common. It's not like I don't see my mom cry all the time. Right. I'd be like, oh shit, she's crying. Now we got to deal with the fact that she's hurting. Like,
yeah,
because she's just been so strong and has compartmentalized everything down to like, it's just very utilitarian. You know, it's like, okay, what do we got to get done? Function only. And if I gotta feel it, then I'll feel it. But boy, it's hard to see. So yeah, you're right. You know, it's like when I bring situations to her and I'm like, we got to talk about this. Sometimes she's not even willing to talk. She'll be like, girl, you know, I didn't mean it like that. Get off my phone. We're not getting into it. And I'm like, right. Okay. I say, okay, but we got to circle back here. Right. We're going to have to go through it. and get to the bottom of it so that, yeah, we can be close and that this relationship can serve to be mutually beneficial for us. Because I feel like that is the issue, or not the issue, the beauty in us being the next generation who are more self-aware and self-evolved, is like we recognize when something is not, hopefully, we're recognizing when something is not working towards our, you know, for our highest good, and we can make a decision that does this serve me or does this not serve me, and then how will I move forward? And I feel like I'm not that I'm strong enough, but I feel like I'm able to assess, is this really good? Mm-hmm. You know, and even if it came down to my mom, like, we got to either put boundaries on it where we're not going to talk about the things that you do to hurt me, that you know, that ultimately hurt me, or, you know, we fix it and we can move forward. So I do feel like we have that benefit, us being this generation, honey, because I bring it to her door. I'd be like, girl, hold on, we got to talk.
Right.
I bring it to your door, baby, hot. So yes, you are always right, Sheena.
And that's the gift. I mean, I think that's the unexpected gift that parents get when their children get to heal them, mm-hmm. and heal them by still loving them through their imperfections. So earlier when I was talking about, you know, babies being able to feel things in the womb, what I make up is that there's probably a lot of women who feel guilt, women who love their children, but they're like, damn, like I was going through it when I was pregnant and like mm-hmm. just worried about communicating all this stuff to your children. But here's the thing, as long as you are talking with them and you're expressing your emotions and you're letting them know that they're loved, or saying I'm sorry because you're going to mess it up. I mean, as long as you're staying connected to your child, that's what's actually going to make the difference, right? Mm-hmm. That you're there to affirm them, to affirm their value, and that you love them no matter what. There's always space and time. And so, you know, your mom being able to have these deeper conversations with you, I mean, she may not tell it to you today, but these are the types of conversations she needed to have when she was a little girl. Right. And so you're teaching her by being open. So this is really great to
now
hear.
I'm healing her inner child. Now I'm the mom all
over. Now you're the therapist.
The grandmama, the baby. Now the grandmama, the baby.
Now you're the therapist. But therapy, I think, has been very good for my mom because, like I said, she was like, she was very, could be impatient and have like a short fuse, but I've noticed substantial growth since she decided to start therapy. Like, she just listens better, and she like has more perspective and insight on decisions that she's made, like things that have happened to her and how she communicates. And I'm like, wow, you made a great decision when you decided to sign up for therapy, because I see the growth in you, queen. Mm-hmm. I see the growth, and that makes me so happy, because sometimes we don't see that. Like, it's just like, this is just what it is, especially as Black women. Like, we've had this idea that our parents, and they tell us this when we're younger, our mothers specifically, what I say goes. It is what it is. Like, this is how we operate in this household. And if you don't like it, you could go. Yeah. And it's like, go where?
I've been told
where
to go
exactly
a few times.
Am I going to go as a young child? Yeah. And that's the vibe. And it's like, you carry that. And I do remember being told that. And if I think about it, that created another wound of like me not being as expressive, not feeling like I could express myself, because it's like, there's no room for me to express how I feel, because you've already stated plain and clear who's running things, what you say goes, and that silenced me. And when I became an adult, it's like harder to express myself in certain situations because of that upbringing, that principle that was drilled into me, like, what I say goes, da 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 da. And she wasn't, of course, mindful of how that would affect me as an adult, but it really did. Yeah. So now I have to unlearn.
That was great. That was great picking up on right there. That was a great work you did.
Revelation.
Yes, revelation.
China. Revelations. But Sheena, okay, so on this show, we talk about friendship so much, and you briefly touched on mother wounds and friendships. We value our friendship and just friendship in general. And I will say that when I've had friends with some gals, I've wondered what the hell their foundation was, because the way they show up as a friend just blows my mind. And so can you go a little deeper into how like a mother wound can affect female friendships? Because we're all about being better friends, and so any help that we can get in this area would be greatly beneficial.
Yeah, so I will talk about modeling first and then try to weave in mother wounds. Mm-hmm. So we learn how to relate to people from our environment. And so in our households, in our family systems, we watch how our mothers interact with us, and we watch how our mothers interact with our aunts or our cousins or our grannies or play cousins or whoever's around. And we notice either subconsciously or very much consciously who gets along with who keeps secrets, who's jealous of who's kind to who supports who. And so you learn kind of the rules of social engagement by watching other people. So if you grow up in a household or in a family system where the women don't get along, or if it's conditional, or if there's narcissism, or if everyone's out for themselves, or there's addiction, you learn how to navigate how you operate in the world based on that. And you take those same skills into your relationships with other people. So when I was saying earlier that there usually can be, or not usually, that there can be wounds or difficulty making female friendships, I was talking specifically about if we have a relationship with a mother that could be more emotionally abusive or intrusive, because that's really hard for a child. It's really hard for a little girl to feel like she can't say anything, to feel like her opinion's not wanted, to not know when mama's going to get angry, to not know when she's going to step out of line and then get punished, either physically or even emotionally or mentally, right? A lot of times, you know, y'all probably heard those type of quotes that are like, physical wounds heal, but the emotional ones are the ones that stick with you. And yeah, those are the ones that are harder to unlearn. So if I learn that to be close to women means that I never know what's going to happen, they're going to use my words against me, or that they're mean or catty, it's time for me to go and be around other women, it's going to be really hard for me to trust them, especially if there's that part of me. We've talked about templates before. You know, I teach about love addiction and everything. We can tend to gravitate towards people who feel comfortable to us, that feel familiar. Mm-hmm. And so if we're used to people who have a lot of drama, and we may be attracted in our classroom, we may go and find the girl who's the life of the party, but she's the life of the party because she's acting out because she got a whole lot of drama at home. And then we bring all that into our friendship. And so that just kind of starts our patterns where we're just attracted to these relationships with lots of ups and downs until we start to normalize. No, the chill, like, I want chill relationships. I want us just to hang out. I don't want to have to worry about what she's thinking and what she's feeling. And if I call her, is she mad at me that she's actually going to express it to me, you know, and that kind of thing. So I'll stop there. Did that make sense?
That makes a whole lot of sense. I've picked up on some of that, and I've also noticed how some people's mother-daughter relationships can be kind of catty, like amongst the both of them, like maybe some jealousy with the mother and the daughter, and then they kind of bring that energy over to their friendship circles. You just really get to see a whole spectrum of mother-daughter relationships and how they can play out.
Yeah.
Actually, at the time we're recording this, I just recorded my Mother's Day episode that should be going out tomorrow. Yes. And I'm talking to mothers of daughters because I saw a TikTok a couple of weeks ago about with a woman who was talking about how it was really hard, how she treats her son differently than her daughter. And she was very emotional about it. And she was like saying how she realized it because she watched women in her family system who were very jealous and catty and didn't get along and didn't trust each other, but they all catered to the men. That bled into how she was treating her children differently, and that she was very patient with her son and very affectionate with him, but with her daughter, that she wasn't. And she was like, this is totally my generational trauma that's being passed on. And so I decided to do an episode because I've heard more than once women that it's hard for, that we can, just because we become a mom doesn't mean that because she's our daughter that we're going to lose all of our trust issues with women. We can carry on that same amount of detachment, the same amount of jealousy and competition. And so exactly like you're saying, I mean, it's really hard. It's really sad to see, because as you, as a daughter, it's like, why does it have to be all that? Like, right. why can't we just, you know, be mom and daughter, but for your mom, she's she's working her things out through a lot of projection. So hopefully that episode helps some moms who don't like their daughters. I think I'm going to title it Healing for Mothers Who Don't Like Their Daughters or something like that.
Wow, Sheena, that's deep.
It gets deep.
That is very deep. You know, speaking of the whole modeling aspect that you mentioned and how that this ultimately we like see these experiences play out in our relationships, I have a friend, an associate of sorts, who
the correction,
you know, who I noticed that she is very catty. She I don't want to say catty. She loves a little drama. She loves a little tea. Always like, girl, let me eat a tea. The gossipy it's all of that. And I'm not really a gossip girl unless I'm with my like close friends. You know, we dish a little tea, a little warm tea, whatever. But I don't just go talking to any and all everybody.
Right, spilling
just,
everybody's business. Like, girl, you know something.
It doesn't
like,
give that for me. I'm not. She's not a gossip girl. But this particular person is any and all tea they want. And I've noticed.
And they have.
They have. And I've noticed that in their own relationship between their sisters, she has that. And I'm like, that dynamic must live through the mom. And I've heard her on the phone talk about how, you know, she'll be beefing with the aunts and it's all of that. And, oh, you know, they said this and da 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 da. It's all of that. And I'm like, oh, I see where it comes from. Like, girl, I can just see
the roots,
of the tree.
Yeah.
Girl, I said, girl, stay away from me.
And that's what makes it really hard for those of us who want to heal and why I feel compassion for, you know, women who are wanting to heal from all their relationships, because people will tell you, people like me will tell you, you know, go out there and open up and trust people and let people in. But if all the relationships around you that you grew up with are toxic and someone like me is like, you need to trust people and pick better, you're like, bitch, where? Like,
right, exactly. Don't know where it's at.
Right.
But it really is about you kind of looking at what it is that you want. You know, if me living in these relationships where I have to manipulate and I have to betray people, like, does that actually bring me pleasure? And if it does, is that the type of relationship that I want with my long-term partnerships? Do I want to be in a long-term relationship with someone that I'm manipulating or that manipulates me? And if not, then what is it that you do want? And you have to become that person. And that might mean that you have to leave behind all these other people because they don't play by those rules. Nothing may not be easy for them. And it's hard because sometimes you want to bring those people with you. You know, it's like you've seen the light and you're like, y'all, like, it's better over here. Like, if we just communicate and if we talk about our feelings and if we, you know, don't put other people in between our fights and if we just work it out together. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you have to grieve those relationships and move on so that you can have something better.
Period. And, you know, that's why I only keep girls around me who play by the same rules. I'm like, hold on. Actually, the rules are written down. You were provided an instruction list. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
Don't come around me if you don't follow these rules, baby, because, honey, I'll categorize you real quick, compartmentalize you, and put you where you belong.
Same. You'll be up on the shelf.
Girl, never being played
never, with. Barely being taken off for a read. I'm like, I can't read you too often because I see your wiring.
I've turned you around and opened up your back, in fact. Period. I read them. I see them quick. I say, girl, that's how you get down.
Yeah, we be quick to pick up a quirk. Listen, like, did you notice?
Brittany and I will read it down, honey. Like, girl, you see what she said. You heard that.
You see how she moved.
Yeah, once I see how you move, baby, then you ain't moving with me. That's just it. We moving solo, and you stand exactly where you are. So that's great, great tea about these female friendships, honey, because they will drag you if you let them.
But we see where it comes from.
We see where it comes from, and it comes from the mother.
Yeah.
It all comes from the first friendship. So, Sheena, one of the, I guess, signs and effects of the mother wound, I mentioned it might be my mother scab, are lack of boundaries and this, like, sense of self-trust. I know as a black, honey, blackity black woman coming from a black ass mama that
and father,
it can be so hard to set healthy boundaries with our moms. Right? Yeah. I feel like that's been the ongoing kind of push and pull of my personal relationship, is like, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And just kind of working through that as it evolves, as we both kind of evolve, our relationship changes. How can we set these healthy boundaries with our moms where, you know, it supports both of us being in a relationship and feeling empowered?
Yeah. I think a mistake that a lot of people do when it comes to not only this, but all relationships, but maybe more specifically, more especially mother-daughter relationships because of the dynamics that you just said, is that they try to look at, okay, how do I navigate this to make them comfortable? Mm-hmm. And then once I figure out how to communicate all that, then I'll figure out what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's the wrong way to do it. Because when you set your boundaries in that way by trying to make other people feel okay, you always lose. Like, yeah, you're always last. It requires you to abandon yourself to be codependent when you do it in that way. And it's never fair. The best way I suggest for people to do it is to think, okay, in my relationship with my mom, what are the values that I want to be true? I want us to have respect. I want to feel listened to. I want there to be laughter. I want there to be X, Y, and Z. And this is what I need to feel safe. I need to know that I'm not going to get talked over. I need to know that someone is going to give me the benefit of the doubt. And if they don't give me the benefit of the doubt, that they're not going to throw it in my face later on, that they're not going to belittle me. Mm-hmm. And once you're clear on what makes you feel emotionally safe, that should be consistent in all relationships, because sometimes we try to be chameleons and we mm-hmm. go one way with one set of people, one way for another set of people, and just drives us crazy. Like, we should know what we need. Going from there, then we say, okay, with my mama, this is my mama's personality. Mm-hmm. So if I need something, this is the best way for me to say this to her. I know that if I say something to her, she may or may not receive it. So does it mean that I just need to remove myself instead of asking her to apologize or asking her what she thinks? Because I know she's not going to. I think we set ourselves up for disappointment when we do the first part that I said, and we're like, okay, this is what I want to be in relationships. So now I just need to go and tell her, but your mom's a whole grown woman,
right?
With her own experiences, with her own beliefs, with her own trauma and healing path she needs to go to. And it's unfair for any of us is to go and make these demands on people. More is better for us to say, these are the standards that I want for the people in my life. And if people can't meet those standards, then there's different levels of closeness that they get into my inner circle. Yeah, the people who refuse completely, y'all way over there in the outfield, I can't even see you. Mm. And the more that you show that you are trustworthy with the privilege of having access to me and access to my heart, the closer you get into my circle. But you have to be able to see people exactly for who they are for you to get there.
Period.
Wow, you told it like it is. Like it's gonna be. It's really treating a mom like, I was gonna say like someone off the street, but it's really like, you know, treating them like someone who should be respecting you just like anybody else. Because I feel like there's a fine line between being a mother and just being flat out disrespectful, you know, where it's yeah. like, okay, you're my mom, but that doesn't mean you just get to be disrespectful now, miss.
Yeah.
So you
my miss cuts up like that. She's like, actually, I can be.
No, you can't.
I know. And that's why I've had to do the subtle, like the gentle checking of sorts, right, where I'm like, mom, you cannot talk to me like that. You cannot say everything that you want. My mom is completely unfiltered. She can be totally unhinged and just say whatever the hell she wants. And sometimes the things that she says hurts my feelings,
right,
and I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned, Sheena, there's this chameleon aspect where I feel like, okay, I can't, you know, I can't really check my mom about that. She's just going to be my mom. And then the boundaries are a little looser around certain things. Whereas my friends, I would never let my friends say certain things that my mom says.
Right.
And, you know, we actually had a coming of heads of sorts. it came up to a head. And I was just like, you know, well, what she mentioned, now y'all in my business,
right,
was, you know, I'm not your friend. I don't want to be treated like your friend.
Say, I'm not one of your little friends. I'm but like, you want to be my friend sometimes.
But you actually are my friend. And right. That's what I told her. No, we are friends. You're more my friend now than you are than I need you to mother me. I don't need you to mother me in the way that you once raised me and mothered me. I don't need that. I need you to be, yeah, my homie. You know, when I'm calling you now for guidance, for wisdom, it's woman to woman. You know, that no, dead ass serious. You know, that's what I need you for. We're choosing this relationship and we get to choose the way it blossoms. And the way you may have been, the way you have at one point ruled with an iron fist, that fist no longer exists in my world because mm-hmm. I pay my bills. I'm responsible for myself. I'm my own woman. So you got to take that fist over into your world.
Right.
That's the only way. That's the only place it exists, baby, right. is in your world.
Not in mine.
It's not in mine. I had to tell her. I said, girl, woman to woman, let me talk to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It gave Barbie this or Shirley. Barbara, this or Shirley. Barbara. That's how I called her up.
Well, luck. I mean, and.
That's, it panned out well, though. That's what I will say.
And I will say that's good when you can, when there's space for you to have those conversations and it pans out well. But Sheena, what about the girls who have to cope with the realization that the relationship that they want with their mothers will never exist for whatever reason? Maybe there's the strain is just too big. Yeah, it's just too deep and. You know,
too much to
it's
repair.
Just too much to bear. How can someone cope with that, accepting that?
Yeah, well, you have to grieve it. So I think for those of us who have narcissistic mothers or mothers who maybe are not narcissistic but have narcissistic traits because of the trauma they've been through, we can really, 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 really want there to be reconciliation. And we can be really, really open to doing whatever it takes. But if someone's not ready, because like I said before, that means that they have to go to that trauma. I think it's looking at having empathy for that. Mm-hmm. And, but then grieving that relationship. So it's possible and sometimes it's necessary to grieve relationships with people who are still living. Because you miss them. They're present, but they're still not available. So to be honest with yourself about that sadness, for you to journal about it, talk to your therapist about it, don't push it down, because when you push it down, that stuff comes out sideways. It doesn't go away because those are real emotions. And every daughter wants to have a relationship with her mother if she can. And if she can, it's because circumstances have made it so.
Right.
So there's that. I think in addition to that is really clinging to your community and building that chosen family. And so chosen family is not just the people that we have fun with. I think for many of us, you know, something I haven't talked in detail about because we're talking specifically about trauma is that love avoidance and like the trust issues that come up when you feel like you can't really trust even the closest relationships. And so many of us get skilled at keeping people around, but only letting them in so far. And when you are feeling really alone and out there, what you don't want is to have a whole life where you feel like you're always alone and out there, because that gets old and that just reinforces that you can't trust other people or that there's something wrong with you or that life isn't, you know, whatever stories that we make up about that. So I would encourage people to either get closer with the people who are already in your life and start initiating talking about yourself. Calling them just because, telling them when you're having a bad day, asking for help when you don't have all the answers and letting them in. And if you don't have those people, to start that journey of finding those people. Yeah. And even being honest, especially if you find someone who's like a motherly mentor even, and just saying, you know, I really need to be connected to someone because this is a pain or a gap that it's missing. And I think women who have that mother energy and that mother gift, those are the exact ones that'll be like, oh baby, of course,
right?
And like
the lay in my bosom,
right?
Got your hand facing your stepmama bosom, baby, because Stop. She loved you. She loved you. No, that's great advice. It's hard to do, especially the grieving part, because you know it's just hard. It's just really hard and challenging, and it's painful, but it's necessary work, and it's the self-awareness that's going to help us move towards our healing. But Sheena, you touched on narcissistic mothers, and we can't glass over that.
We can't
just graze past that, honey, because that is a concept that many of the girls likely have not heard about. Can you explain what that means to have a narcissistic mom, or like what that experience, or, you know, what that shows up like, the signs?
Yeah, it's funny because I think lots of people have narcissistic parents, but we have self-gaslighted ourselves into trying to say, well, maybe my mama just be tripping sometimes. Mm-hmm. But
And that's that spectrum I was trying to ask you about. I'm like, exactly where does she lie on the is she a wound or a scab?
We're going to start calling our mom. You know what? You're a narcissist.
I'm like, are you giving wound or scab, mom? Is it giving narcissistic ways or personality?
Yeah. Well, that you clued into one thing that's really important. So when someone is a narcissist, it's a personality disorder. So they're like this all of the time. It's not just they're having a bad day or they're going through it. That it really impacts their functioning and how they show up in the world. And a lot of narcissists, it's not that they are, you know, going out there robbing banks. A lot
the
of
bank robbers.
A lot of narcissists are very high functioning, but it destroys the relationships because of what narcissism looks like. So it looks like them needing the conversation always being about them. So they give you love when you make them look good, or when it is convenient for them. They can be very immature, very manipulative. They can take ownership of your achievements and make it about them. They can be very competitive and jealous with you. They can make you feel bad for not catering to them and not being codependent to them and not giving up your romantic relationships, not giving up your friendships, not giving up your ambitions because, well, what about them? You know, I've given so much to you. It's like you're abandoning me. I guess I'll just go and just live in a corner by myself. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of shaming that happens with that. And they can be absent in some ways and hold their presence as a prize. So when you do what I want, then I'll show up. Then I'll give you what you want. But when you don't, I'm going to make it. You're going to know very much that I am not happy with you. And again, just there could be a lot of criticism, a lot of insults that make you feel very small. A lot of the women that I work with have felt body shamed by narcissistic mothers. And so, you know, talking about their size and shape, talking about their skin color, talking about how put together they look, and making those as qualifiers for love as well.
People are probably like, let me let my mama know she a narcissist.
It's giving big narc energy.
Wow. Yeah, the narcissist mother thing, that's crazy.
What were you saying, Sheena?
Just real quick, if you feel as if someone in your life, romantic, mother, or otherwise, is a narcissist, the thing that I tell people not to do is to do not confront them and tell them you're a narcissist, because they don't care.
Right.
And because they're narcissistic. And if anything, they're going to use that against you. They will pick up a book on narcissism and they will start projecting and blame shifting. And every single thing that they do, they're going to start saying, well, Germany, you know, this is what I'm talking about. I tried to talk to you about my emotions and you're making it about you.
Oh, hell.
And you're like, how did I get here? You know?
Ooh, see, and this is why she is
the best.
You
hate a mind game.
Right. Sheena, you always stay equipping the girls with the tools.
She does. Can't nothing get past you with a Sheena on your team. It's like, hold on, you thought she was getting past me, baby girl. I already know the rules to the game.
Right.
Got it from the Sheena table of cons.
Back up off of me. Okay, so we've covered a lot, but as you were talking, and we're talking about like how mother wounds affect us daughters, I couldn't let it pass me that they may affect sons too. And as women who date men, the girls out here who date the men, can men experience the mother wound too? Like, how does it show up for them, if possible?
I feel like the majority of the incel behavior we're seeing right now, not coming from men who have been brokenhearted by women. I make up that it starts with the relationship with the first woman in their life. And from there, they are attracted to women who continue that trauma. And it just creates this whole narrative of pain. And so, yes to that. And then also, you know, even outside of men who hate women, but cover it up as if, well, I love women, just not these type of women, or whatever it is that they say.
Right.
I mean, we're all humans, desire and need to be attached to their mother. And so if your mother is abusive, critical, shaming in any way, One thing, one type of trauma that I did not talk about that's really, really important that I think happens more so probably in male, with male children, is emotional enmeshment. So when the child is asked and required to hold all the emotional space for the parent. So the parent confides in the child about how she's feeling, mm-hmm. about what she needs, about fights she's having with her partner, about there being mother issues. Just take care, you know, mama's having a bad day. Can you just make me feel better or tell me a joke? Or mama loves it when you sit next to her. And so as a child, you really do. We talked about feeling as if you're a parent, but legitimately, like, you're feeling as if you are a co-partner in the family, that you are parentified, not only as being the oldest sibling and having all these really big responsibilities, but because if you're not showing up, then mom doesn't have it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because, you know, little boys are asked to be little men. And period. So they don't have the space to explore, to make mistakes, to say no. Because when I say no, the family crumbles. When I say no, my mama cries. And that emotional distress is real. And so that creates a whole lot of avoidance in men who never had the space to feel their emotions, to have their own identity. Because, and now they feel as if to be committed to a person, committed to a woman, is overwhelming. Well, of course, because your first relationship with the woman, and probably the way it still is now, is highly enmeshed. And you don't have any space to have your own without feeling as if you're hurting someone or guilting her, because you've been in the men of the house since you were three.
No, not since you were three. It's no. Like, hold on, why? I'm the little big man. The big little man, mother, because I'm not your nigga.
The man. And that's why we got to stop calling these little black boys man.
Stop, Jeremy. Let kids be kids. Let them
be boys. Please. No more man-mans. No more man-mans. I don't want to hear another man.
I knew the mother wounds had a chokehold on some of our men, too. As soon as when you first given the first example, I said, somebody get Kevin Samuels on the phone. Now I got to see if he got... he got a relationship with his mama, because it gives big mother wounds energy.
Yeah. But it's the enmeshment. You know, of course, there's the emotional neglect and the abuse and, again, sexual abuse, again, that we don't talk enough about. But all of that heaviness is so chaotic and toxic to a person. To just a normal person. I mean, think about the stress that all of us go through. Mm-hmm. And then imagine having to hold that when you're six. Mm-hmm. And having that be your whole lifestyle, that's too much. And it goes deep. It goes into your nervous system. It's hard for you to relax. It's hard for you to trust. And so what I make up about any person, I'm not going to say any name, but here's what I've told one of my students in like a coaching call one time is, we were talking about red flags and relationships, and I was talking about their relationship with their mom, and they were saying, yeah, so I want to ask if they're close to their mom. And I was like, okay, that's good, but you also need to listen to how they talk about their mama. So they're like, ain't nobody ever going to replace my mama, and you know, my mom is my number one, and like they get really emotional and very defensive about it. There is most likely a trauma bond there, because he has been asked to show up in some ways that were not fair to him. And you may be in the middle of a relationship with his mama because he doesn't have enough differentiation is the word. He doesn't have his own identity and individuality outside of her.
Oh, shit. Baby.
Keep your head on the swivel.
Listen, I've dealt with a nigga with a mother wound, and I said never again. I knew it wasn't for me. I knew it was not for me, because it just felt like too much for me to bear.
How did his show up?
I feel, Sheena, when you mentioned them attracting women who are similar to their moms, or maybe they have the same experience with their moms, that's what really like went off for me. I was like, oop, because he has abandonment issues. His mom left him. And I, being the busy girl that I am, the career woman that I am, I'm always on the go.
You were leaving him time after
time. I was leaving him time after time. Exactly. Yeah. And then he's looking at me like, but I want to connect. I want to stay home. We got to build. Da, da, da. And when I'm like, boy, I'm shutting the door saying, I'll talk to you later. We'll connect tomorrow.
We'll connect later.
It's giving, okay, I'm bringing up all of these feelings for him.
Right.
Being the woman in his life that his mom probably, you know, that lack of relationship probably brought up. And that's when I said, I be having to ask, like, what's up with you and your mama? I want to know, because honestly, I cannot nurture you. It's honest. I know that parental wounds parental wounds, rather it be a woman with her father, a woman with her mom, a son with his dad, or a son with his mom. They exist. I'm not saying that people are perfect or that they're going to show up perfectly. I'm just saying what I know might be too much to bear for me personally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of times when the mother wound shows up, it's a level of nurturing that maybe I cannot provide and that I'm not comfortable with and that I might be met with, that you're going to need me to nurture you in a way that I probably can't.
Right.
And it's going to stress me out. So I got to choose. I got to put me first.
Yeah.
I'm clear to communicate.
I can nurture as a GF.
I can nurture as a romantic partner, honey. Right. When I put this thing on, you know you care for.
Okay.
I can't do nothing else
you
for
you.
You
know what? Mm-mm. You are crazy as hell.
I ain't gonna love you like your mom can.
Sexual nurturing.
I cannot love you like your mother can. And she can't love you the way I can.
Right. Cue the jacket in.
That's it.
She can't love you like I love
that's
you.
That's it. That's it.
Mm-mm. Can I give another example that's just like yours?
Sheena, of course you can.
Okay. Another hack that goes in line with your example of looking to see what the relationship is like with their mom. So with that ex-boyfriend, he has his abandonment issue, so he's attracted to a woman who's super busy, mm-hmm. right? And trying to get you to abandon your stuff to be available for him. And you're right. No matter what you did, it wouldn't have been enough. If you moved and lived under his bed, it wouldn't enough because there was something deeper with him. I had to look at, there was an ex-partner that I had, mm-hmm. and when I got to meet his mom, and when he talked about his mom, he would like do all of the like, you know, I love my mama kind of thing. But then when I would see them together, she was very critical of him. Mm. And she was like not very supportive of him. And he would just kind of like blow it off. And he would also talk about his relationship with other women in his family and how dominating they were. And so basically, just to say it straight, he was in a very emasculated place with the women in his life. Like they were all used to being in control. And I had to look at him and be like, so, because I'm a therapist, right? So I know what the deal is. So I'm like, are you attracted to me because I remind you of your mom?
Period.
And he's like, no, you're completely different. I'm like, you don't think that I am controlling at all and I don't like having any of these things? And he's like, no. And of course, he's unaware, but I was like, all right, this is work for me to do. Mm-hmm. And if you find, and I think this is like kind of all the rage right now, as people are talking about feminine energy and masculine energy, so it is in line with those themes right now. But if you find that you continue to be in relationships with men who are lazy or men who aren't really big leaders, you might need to look at, is there a part of you that feels like you need to dominate and be in control? Mm-hmm. Because there can only be one alpha. And if you want it, then you got it. But what comes along with that is a lot of passivity. Mm. And a lot of times men who are passive like that is because their strength has been beat out of them, either figuratively or literally by the women in their life. And you are kind of stepping into that role. And so you can't come in being the boss and then getting mad later on if they don't want to be the boss.
Period.
Because that's how you started the relationship.
Because he done gave you the pants and now he swimming around as the beta fish. That's what happens. If she's the alpha, I'm the beta fish.
Well, damn. Mm-hmm. You always find a way to turn it back around to the mirror. Look at yourself. What are you doing? How are you carrying along?
Yeah. Queen.
Yeah.
Sheena, you know what? Like Brittany said, we talked about so much. And in preparation for this episode, and just, you know, listening to things about mother wounds and so on and so forth, I had heard that healing the mother wound really has nothing to do with the mom. Mm. It has everything to do with, you know, you, yourself, and just kind of, like you mentioned earlier, grieving and going through your own self-awareness process. So to kind of wrap it up and put a bow on it, how can we heal from a mother wound? If you just had to give advice to all the girls and maybe the niggas out there listening.
Right.
What would you say that, you know, we can do, or what are the steps?
That's a great question. And the answer, you're absolutely right. The freedom is not in whether or not you do get that conversation with mom where she takes ownership of everything, or even if y'all become best friends, because the wounds are still there. That's mm-hmm. still work that you have to do. So what's for you is to do the process of reparenting that inner little girl and learning to give her everything that she didn't get before. And so what that looks like for you as an adult woman is noticing at the times that you are critical. A lot of us, we adopt the voices from our past. Even when we think we're doing better, those, again, were still the only templates that we had. So if we had a parent or a caregiver that was super critical, then it can be very easy for us to motivate ourselves by just keep going, like, what are you doing? Like, you wasting time and very harsh. And so you have to learn how to be kind to yourself. You have to learn how to motivate yourself via love and to understand that that's how it should have always been. That you're not coddling, that you're not being weak, but that it's easier for you to move forward in life and it's easier for you to feel whole when it's coming from a place of genuine care. And so reparenting yourself, it means holding space for you to feel all of your emotions during good days and bad days, allowing yourself to be confused, allowing yourself to be stuck, allowing yourself to be excited, and just having all access to all those emotions. And learning how to be your best friend, I think those are things that people talk about all the time, but living it out practically, it will be a process. And not expecting you to get it within 30 days because you listened to a podcast episode and you downloaded 8 audiobooks on it.
Right.
But knowing that you spent your whole life doing this and you're going to have to spend some time actively seeing what fits for you and what works and what's real.
Period. Give yourself some grace, love, beloved. It's hard work that we're doing.
It is.
It's hard work that we're doing. Sheena, girlfriend, every time you come on this show, it's a treat.
It really is. It's a treat. It's just supreme, deluxe treat.
Yes, we get to go deeper and have these amazing conversations from just a really digestible way, like a digestible, aspect way. It's just so easy to talk to you. And, we thank you for being here for our community. We thank you for the work that you're doing with Black Girls Heal and just creating space for all of the Black girls and women everywhere. You just do what you do so beautifully.
Yes, you are.
You always get your flowers from us.
Yeah. Happy Mother's Day.
Giving bouquet.
In advance. Happy Mother's Day in advance for mothering us and the girls.
Yes. Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me, y'all.
Yes. Sheena, let our girls know where they can find you, what you have going on.
Yeah. So y'all can follow me on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok now.
Yes.
At Black Girls Heal. And our website is blackgirlsheal.org. We have our main coaching program, which is the way that I help women through our 6-month intensive. And we have smaller programs related to self-worth and through healing love addiction and love of deprivation and all the different things that we talked about today. If you just want to make a small step in breaking those cycles. So we'll love to help y'all there.
Beautiful. It sounds like we need to run, not walk, over to that website and to those platforms and get your dose of what you need. Thank you again so much, Sheena. We appreciate you beyond words.
Yes, Sheena, you are loved.
No matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.